That's a good word. For someone here today, the Lord wants you to look back on all those impossible situations that you have been in. And He wants you to remember that He brought you through them. Just like when Egypt had God's people trapped between the sea and the Egyptian army, He took them through that impossible situation by parting the Red Sea. We have a God who is able. Amen. Refuse to give up. Refuse to give in. Refuse to take no for an answer. Hallelujah. How many know that enemy has to obey the will of God? If he's standing in your way, amen, between you and the will and the purpose, the destiny of God, he has to move. But you have to tell him to move. You have to make him get out of your way. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We're all in our places with bright, shining faces. Okay. And if you're not, you need to tell your face that right now. So, all right. Tell your face you have joy. You don't have to fake it, right? If you got the real deal, you just got to. Hallelujah. There is something I often repeat, but I think it's worth repeating. And that is gratitude, thanksgiving. Yes. In all things, give thanks. Yes. For this is the will of God in Christ that concerns us. So in all things, give thanks, because thanksgiving produces what? Praise. Produces authentic praise. Praise invites, brings the glory, the presence of the Lord. He inhabits the praises of his people. And then praise brings us out of our situation into a thing called joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have to begin and go through those stages, if you will, because there is joy available and there's strength. But strength is not just because we're trying harder or we have a strong will to make something happen. True strength is a strength that the Lord provides by His Spirit. So we can't live under law and we can't live under grace at the same time. You're going to live under one or the other. If you try to mix the two together, you'll be miserable. You'll basically be in a place where you are fallen from grace when you try to mix the law together with grace. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that today, because a lot of the body of Christ is caught in between that place of how good is good enough, and have I reached, or have I attained, or have I made it to that place yet? And you know, a simple answer to that is grace is not something, or even righteousness is not something that you achieve, but it's what you receive. All we can do is receive from God what is freely given to us in Christ Jesus. You're either going to live by the Spirit of the life, amen, of Christ, or you're going to live under the law of sin and death, under bondage. You're either going to be free or you're going to be bound. But freedom is in Christ, and we have to understand that, and we have to continue in that liberty. In Galatians 5, that's why Paul was saying, stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Sometimes we've had the light come on. God's touched our lives. We've been born of the Spirit. Life is good. We're having joy in the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes along and he tries to throw a heavy yoke on us that God didn't offer us. And we think and he makes us believe it's from God. So we take on all this stuff that God never put on us. And before we know it, we're under the yoke of performance. And the harder I try to perform, the more defeated I get. Because you're only going to do so well for so long, and then you're going to be defeated. You're going to fall again. Grace is a gift. Would you say amen to that? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, Lord, it's all about you. And we want to be all about you. We want to be faithful to the end, Lord. We want to finish strong, finish well, finish with joy. We want to hear you say in that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for paying the price that we deserve to pay so that we could be free. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to talk about something. I know it was from the Lord, but it has to do with the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath and the new covenant. And the title of today's message is Entering into Sabbath Rest. I talk to people here and there, and there seems to be some confusion as to what is the Sabbath and what is appropriate for us as New Testament believers today. And there are some people who actually believe that if you worship, for example, on Sunday, today that you're worshiping the beast. Maybe you've heard of that. Seventh-day Adventism believes that. And they believe that in 321 Constantine had changed things, and that it went from the seventh day being the Saturday to the Sunday, and that it was a corruption of the original, you know, intent of God for man to keep the Sabbath day holy, you know, to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. So I want to talk about Sabbath today. What does New Testament Sabbath look like? Does that sound like something you might be interested in, right? And maybe it's something you already know, but if anything, it'll be a refresher course, because there is confusion. I've talked to brethren that have come in, and I was talking back there one day, and he was going off to do his own thing on Saturday because we're worshiping on the wrong day of the week. And I basically told him, for lack of a better answer, I guess, I said, well, what may be Saturday here may be Sunday in China. So, and it's not about a particular day on the calendar, and this is what I want to talk about today. So, why was the Sabbath given? The Sabbath was really given for us to remember. It was a remembrance day. That this is the day that God had created all things and made all things beautiful, all things were good, and that God rested on this seventh day. And the Sabbath was not made for God. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, for our benefit. And there are benefits for you and I taking a day to rest, amen, to relax, and to reflect on the Lord. The Sabbath also spoke to us about, you know, how we had, at one time, we had peace with God. We had relationship, we had a fellowship with God in the garden prior to the fall. And so the Sabbath was a continual reminder of what man once had when he walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, and the joy that he had as he walked with his Lord. And so they were constantly reminded of this, and that it was a day that God gave to them as a benefit, but also to remember that God had rested from his works. He rested from his works on the Sabbath, the seventh day. Now, some people want to get technical about it and say, well, Sunday is where, you know, is from a pagan practice of sun worship, where it was, you know, S-U-N day. And so anybody that worships on S-U-N day is, you know, practicing paganism. So if you go to church on Sunday, you're practicing paganism. Well, if we come across from that, if we come from that angle, we have to also look at the other 6 days that all have pagan meaning too, including Saturday, which is for the god Saturn. So we need to really look at this today, because what I want to do is try to help us understand what God's intent was, why he established the Sabbath, and what it looks like today, what it is supposed to be today. So let's take a look at this. If we are, again, if Saturday was the correct Sabbath day, as there are those who do worship on Saturday, and folks, it's okay if somebody wants to get together on Saturday. Amen? There's nothing illegal about that. As long as they're not seeking to be justified by the day that they choose to worship God, then it becomes legalism. And this is the thing that Paul was was speaking to the Galatians about, and even Peter, who understood the grace of God, had been forgiven of his sins, and yet when the Jews showed up and they were trying to pull him back under the law and say, yes, we believe in faith in Jesus Christ only, however, but we still have to be circumcised and we have to observe the Sabbath days. And so Paul rebuked Peter and said, who hath bewitched you? You begun in the spirit. Are you now perfected by the flesh? Are you now justified by observing these days? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. You see, they were being persecuted because of their liberty in Christ. Hear it today. Because there's a movement today that is pulling people out of churches into their thing that is saying, well, we've missed it all these thousands of years. We've got it wrong and we got to go back and we still got to start observing these holidays and these feast days. Amen. Because God requires it of us. Well, the Bible's very clear that the day will come when those feast days will be reinstated. And that will be during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ. But today, it is not necessary. It doesn't mean it's wrong for somebody to observe the feast day because these are memorials. You can learn from them, but it's not a requirement for righteousness. Hear me? So we got to be careful about these things because if you're not careful, you can get back under a legal law of performance and doing these certain things to be justified before God. And by doing those things to be justified by God, you actually fall from grace. And once you fall from grace, you come back under condemnation. Self-condemnation, usually. Amen? There's many dear people, you know, they believe in Jesus, who are confused as to these things. Now understand this, that prior to this edict or whatever it was that Constantine put out in 321, the early Christians actually met on Sunday, the first day of the week. And why was that? Because that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In John 20 and verse 1, it says, now the first day of the week, which John on the Isle of Patmos referred to in his revelation as the Lord's day. The first day of the week, which is Sunday. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was still dark, saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Here's another one. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. When? First day of the week. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. John 20 and verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. This was the time, you remember, when Jesus said, put your hands, Thomas, in my side and in my hand. You know, does the spirit have flesh and bone? Don't be doubting, but believing. You know, we all pick on Thomas, but how many of us might have been like Thomas, you know? Who knows, right? We can easily look back and say, well, I would have never done anything like that. I would have never done the Peter thing, you know? I would have never gotten cocky and self-righteous and jumped out and got ahead of God, and I would have never done like Peter. No, said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Not me. And isn't it interesting that Jesus said, no, I'm going to pray, Peter, that you don't stumble. He said, I'm going to pray that your faith doesn't fail. Because he knew that Peter had to fall on his face to realize that in himself, he didn't have what was necessary to overcome. That he was going to have to depend on the grace, the power, the ability that only the Spirit of God can provide for us. See, this is the thing today. We're not to be governed by the law of sin and death, but by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, who sets us free from the law of sin and death. You cannot live under both at the same time. It's called confusing grace. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, how often? And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. This is the early church. They met all the time, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, remember, it was at Sinai where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, right? And the fourth commandment there listed in the law, which was the embodiment of all the little laws that kind of spawned from it. Those Ten Commandments. The fourth one was, remember what? The Sabbath. And keep it holy. And prior to this law, God had made a contract with Abraham. Now, this is what we need to understand. That it was 420 years or so prior to the law that was on the tablets of stone given at Sinai, God had entered into a covenant or an agreement or a contract with Abraham, and it was a contract of promise that God is saying, Abraham, through your lineage, through your seed, not many seeds but seed, will the promise come. God is promising him a son. Remember, they were barren and they were not able to have children. But this was prior to the law of Moses, and it was a covenant that was based upon trust, based upon faith. That Abraham, it says he believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. So how was Abraham justified? By believing God. Wow. How were all of those that went before justified prior to the cross? By faith in God. Those who are mentioned in Hebrews 11 are the ones who believed God, folks. Not who obeyed the commandments to perfection, because no one was able to. The law was given, it was added because of transgression, because of our sinful nature. God gave some standards and says, you need to obey these so that you don't kill each other. Amen. How many know that the Ten Commandments is a good standard for our nation? And unfortunately, they want to get rid of them. Not as a means of justification, but to keep some control on what's happening. Amen. The lawlessness that we see permeating our society today. So it was called the Abrahamic Covenant prior to the law that was given at Sinai, the Sinaitic. Almost sound like sciatic, but Sinaitic. So this covenant that God gave to Abraham was a covenant of promise. Say, covenant of promise. We are people of promise. People of promise. Genesis 15 in verse 1, here it is. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Now understand that prior to God showing up on the scene and speaking to Abraham, everybody just kind of did their own thing. They just figured out, well, I think I'll worship God this way. I'll bow down to a tree or a rock, or, you know, I'll create a God to suit myself. But God interrupted mankind at this time, this juncture, and he gave him a promise. And in Acts chapter 17, it says that the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commands today all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. Change the way you're thinking. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we'll get back to that. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one is born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Now, who was that heir? Amen. Jesus was the heir. It was talking about Jesus. Galatians 3:16 talks about this. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who is that? And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. So what is a covenant? A covenant is a contract or agreement between two people, right? Or two parties. Where usually it is sealed in blood. In ancient tribes, they would have a sacrifice of some kind. Either they would kill an animal, and then they would take the blood and they would drink it. And say that we're drinking this blood, symbolizing that we're coming together and becoming one. Amen. In other words, everything I have is yours now. Everything you have is mine. If somebody touches you, it's as if they touched me. So we're coming into a contract. There was other times where they would cut themselves. Amen. And they would mingle their blood. You know, and then they would enter into a contract. There was also the marks of that contract or the marks of covenant, where sometimes they would tattoo themselves or scar their body, and they would have matching tattoos. Amen. Saying that we are in covenant. You see this? This means that we identify ourselves with one another. Don't mess with him, because if you mess with him, it's as if you're messing with me. And so they would enter into contracts to protect themselves, often from other enemies that they would face. So now the promise with the earthly covenants is this. God is a promise keeper, but man is a promise breaker. How many have broken a promise at least once in your life? How many have had people break their promises with you? Of course, that's the fallen nature of man. Man is not very dependable. Now, as God's people, we should be the most dependable people on the planet, amen? Because we're representing Jesus. Our word should be good. If we say something, we should mean it, amen? And be willing to back it up. Now, the problem, again, was that these things could be broken. Now, the awesome thing is this. The Abrahamic covenant was not like any other covenant. Because in this one, God swore by himself. Because he could swear by no higher, look at Hebrews 6:13. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, how can God swear by himself? Have you ever made a vow to yourself? Is it interesting that as human beings, we have the ability to talk to ourselves? I know sometimes it's like you're on the phone talking. You're like, are they talking to themselves or on the phone? But, you know, I know none of you have ever talked to yourself before, but we have the ability to have a conversation with ourselves. We even rebuke ourselves and call ourselves names sometimes. You shouldn't do that, but you know what I'm saying? Well, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? But in this case, it was the Father and the Son that came together in agreement. And they made a contract. This contract was sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, at the cross. The covenant, amen? The New Testament in my blood. Meaning that the old covenant that was written on tablets of stone has been taken away and nailed to the cross. Do you get it? So we don't confuse grace. Either it's by grace or it's by law. One or the other. Amen? But if you try to be justified by the law, no man shall be justified. You can't live good enough. God will justify the sinner by the sinner putting his full trust and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the covenant that God sealed and agreed with himself. Amen. Swore by himself. So that covenant cannot be broken. Aren't you glad that God keeps his promises? So when God gave these Ten Commandments, they all swore. They said, hey, we're going to obey them, God. Sounds good to us. We're in. All in. But what happened? Didn't happen. They broke all of them. Romans 3:23 makes it clear, for all have sinned, amen, and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. How many here are under the law today? Okay, just making sure you're listening. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What does the law do? The law reveals our sinfulness. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law entered in, amen, and I was convicted by the law. Now, the awesome thing is this. What the law did then, the Spirit does now. Before, we were convicted by the tablets, amen, and the breaking of the law. But today, we are convicted by the Spirit of God. And the law written on our hearts by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, if you truly belong to Him, you cannot sin with impunity without feeling some sense of regret or remorse or even that conviction that I've grieved the Spirit of God. Understand, if a person is truly a child of God, they will not continue to live in sin. Why? Because the Spirit of God is there to deal with us. We'll be miserable as long as we try to do that. Why? It's not who we are anymore. It's not our new nature. That's the old nature. We can't live in death anymore. Why would we want to live in death when God has provided for us life in the Spirit, life and peace and freedom from the guilt, amen, and the shame and the condemnation that was produced in us through the law of commandments? Thou shalt not. If we would focus on the to-dos and not the do-nots, amen, we would do a whole lot better. You don't wake up in the morning and go down your list. Oh, now, don't do this today and don't do that today. How about just hook up with Jesus, yoke up with Jesus, and walk with Jesus today, amen, in newness of life. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about this Sabbath day. Does that mean that there's no longer a Sabbath? Well, yes, there is a Sabbath. But I want to get to that. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says clearly, he was speaking to Paul to the Corinthian church, you are an epistle or letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Put not on tablets of stone. So here we know he's talking about the Ten Commandments, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. And now the prophet Jeremiah also shared by the Spirit of the Lord what this new covenant would look like. You all ready to look at it again? Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant or the contract that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will what? Put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. But if the ministry of death, what was that? That's the law. Written and engraved on stones, there it is again, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not living under the law. I'm so thankful that I'm in Christ today, that I'm a free man, that the Son has set me free. Amen. That the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the life of God in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. And then according to Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has done what? Set me free from the law of sin and death. The reason why we get bound up and we get into problems and we get defeated is because we get these two confused and we try to live both. We try to live in grace and by the law at the same time. And every time you do that, you fall from grace and you get back under the self-performance thing. And I'm working and I'm trying and I'm striving to be good. Well, I'm trying really hard to be a good Christian today. How about just hook up with Jesus? Amen. Plug into the power, walk with Him in new life, amen, and God will give you the ability to rise above your situation. Pray lest you fall into what? Temptation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So walking according to the flesh, folks, doesn't mean just doing bad things. It means trying to be justified by doing the things that are written in the law of tablets. On the tablets. You get it? Because once you do that, you're shifting away from grace or God's ability into now my ability to keep myself, my ability to overcome, my ability to walk in victory. You can't do both. You got to get over yourself. Do yourself a favor. Turn away from yourself. Repentance is really turning away from you and putting your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus, His blood, His righteousness, His ability, amen, to give me victory. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not gratify the desires or the lust of your flesh. So question, are we to observe the Sabbath today? Are we to keep the Sabbath today? Okay. Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law. Now we have been delivered from the law. What was written in the law? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So what was the purpose of the Sabbath? It was not only a remembrance of the fellowship we had with God and that God rested on the seventh day, but was also pointing forward to something that was superior. And that is the Sabbath rest of Christ. Our Sabbath is Jesus Christ. He's my rest. He's my refuge. He's my life. He's my all in all. And when I walk in Him and when I walk with Him, I will have fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. We will plug in, amen, to His body. Because it's through the body that God will release His grace to mature each one of us, that we may grow together up into Christ, to the full stature of Christ, that we may look like Him. How many know that it's not okay for us to have our own little thing apart from the body of Christ? It's not God's plan, folks. As a matter of fact, again, if we look back at the New Testament church, they were getting together all the time. They got together all the time. Now, I understand with schedules and the way things are today, we can't always get together all the time. Amen? But we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we need each other. God designed us that way. They say, well, that's condemnation. That's no. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So don't accept that. Don't accept condemnation. Amen? There's a difference between correction and condemnation. Do you know what the devil does? He condemns. The devil points out your faults or your sins so that you will run away from God. The Holy Spirit will point out your faults or your sin so that you will run to Him, run to God. That's the difference. Amen? You know you're listening to the devil when you're running away from God. Amen? What was it that God said to Adam when he showed up? Amen? After they sinned and they were hiding out. Who told you you were naked? How many believe it was that old devil that was telling them? The accuser of the brethren. You better go hide. God's going to get you. Folks, when you blow it, and we all do, run to Jesus. Amen? Run to the Lord. There's refuge. He's our rest. He's our peace. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. He's the Sabbath. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Galatians 5:1. And do not be again entangled with the yoke of bondage. So let me ask you this, because there's an argument that people will say, well, what about the commandments? Jesus said, he who obeys my commandments loves me, right? And he said, keep my commandments. Well, what are the commandments then? Does that mean that we have to go down the list of commandments and say, well, did I check off the list and say, well, I got to obey the commandments. If I love Jesus, I obey the commandments. How about two commandments in the new covenant? There's only two. You know what the first one is? And love your neighbor. Jesus said, and they asked him, Lord, what can we do the works of God? Believe on him whom the Father has sent. In other words, the commandment is now to believe Jesus, believe his word, believe what he says. Trust him. And love one another. Can we love one another? Jesus says, love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. That you trust in me, trust in my ability, trust in my grace. Don't trust in yourself. Don't put yourself back under law and under bondage. Walk with me and you'll enjoy life and peace. You'll find rest for your soul in me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see, legalism will cause us to run away. Condemnation. When we come under the law of commandments, we come under condemnation. We run away from God. But the Spirit draws us to come to our advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our defense attorney in heaven, and say, Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. And there's blood there on the mercy seat that cries out, mercy. Speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen. Abel's blood cried out vengeance. The blood of Christ cries out mercy. Thank you, God, for the new covenant. John 13:34. Here's the scripture reference. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Amen. John 6:29. Jesus said to them, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. If we are really living according to the royal law, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, we have life and peace in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another. What's that mean? Love one another. I need to be considerate of you. You need to be considerate of me. I need to have your interests at heart, not just my own. Let us consider one another. Not just how is my life going? How am I doing? Am I walking in victory? Am I walking in defeat? Me, me, my, my. But how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? And you should be doing the same. How are you doing? How's it going? Oh, it's just great. How's it really going? It's okay. If we can love, then we can trust. Amen? Find somebody you can confide in, you can talk, and you can pour your heart out. Sometimes, folks, it's necessary for us to just to make a confession to somebody that you can trust. That we confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. That we might be what? Healed. This is my commandment. That you love one another. That your joy may be full. What is God saying? The seal is the Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the sign of the new covenant. That we belong to Christ. That we are in Him. Amen? Under the Abrahamic covenant, it was the covenant of circumcision. Now, it's a good and healthy practice today. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not a means of justification. Amen? And the tablets of stone, amen, were given. They were the sign that was given where at Sinai. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who sometime were far off have been brought nigh. Amen? By the blood. Wow, by the covenant in his blood. This do in remembrance of me. Remember what Jesus has accomplished, what Jesus did for us. He has provided a way for us to come into rest and to cease from our works. What was James talking about? Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He's talking about being motivated by God's love to love and to serve people. Not out of obligation, but out of a willing spirit because you're walking in God's love. You want to serve when you're walking in the love of God. Amen? When you're in right relationship with Christ, when you're abiding in His grace, there will be fruit of the Spirit. That's a good thing. That's a good life. That's abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So don't let anybody judge you. Amen? Don't let anybody put you under condemnation. Colossians 2:16 and 17. I'm almost finished. Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Woo! Free! Don't let anybody put the clamps on you and pull you off into their little group and say, you got to do all these other things too. No, believe Jesus and love one another. Walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify your sin nature. Amen? Get yoked up with Jesus. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You'll find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Amen? Because when you're walking with Jesus, you don't want to do the things that grieve Him. Because you don't want to grieve the one you love. So we obey Him out of love and not out of obligation. You see, that the law had no love in it. There was no substance, there's no life. There was only do's and don'ts. But in Christ, we have life in Him. We have a relationship in Him where we want to love God. We want to please God. We want to serve God. Lord, what can I do for You? You did all this for me. How can I love You back? That's worship. Are we loving God back? Lord, I'll give up my time. I'll give up my plan. I'll do whatever You want. I just want to be with You. I want to be with You. I don't want to go home. I want to hang out to 3 o'clock at New Horizons today. I'm saying. You know, there are times when God's presence is so sweet that we don't want to go anywhere. It's like, wow, this is good. Let's just sit here and rest. You know, I quit getting mad at people for falling asleep. Because sometimes they need some sleep. This is the only time they can get any rest. Amen? They get that rest in the Spirit. So I don't get my finger in their face anymore. Like, you know, never did that. But I'm like, why did I fall asleep? I used to get louder and louder. And I've since gotten over myself, by the way. Let's enjoy what we've been given in Christ. I want to ask you today, would you bow your heads just for a moment? How many here can honestly say, and I'm just going to ask that no one would look around. I know some people like to do everything publicly, but for this, I want to just ask you, how many here in this room can honestly say that it is well with your soul, that you are in right standing with God today? Just raise your hand. Okay. And if you're here today and you really don't feel that that is true about you, that you don't really sense that you are in right standing with God, but you want to get it right with God, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. I want you to be honest and say, I really don't know if I'm right with God. Amen. God bless you for your honesty. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you just a quick but an accurate solution to that. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Do you believe that God loves you, that God is for you, that God is not against you? Do you believe that it was God's idea to send Jesus to that cross? It wasn't because of our goodness that Jesus went to the cross. It's because we were not good. And He took our place. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God says, I want you to be with me. You don't redeem something that's worthless. You don't redeem something that's worthless. You are of great value to the Lord. And Jesus said very clearly, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you have given your life and you said, Jesus, here's my heart, here's my life, I come to you, I give you my life, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Believe that He receives you just like He promised. You see, salvation is a promise. It's not something you earn or achieve. It's what you receive by faith. I believe and I receive today. So right where you're at, say, Jesus, I come to you and I give you my life. I can't save myself, so I give you all of me. Lord, give me all of you. Forgive my sins. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and restore me to right fellowship with you. I believe that you are mine, I am yours, and that I am been restored to fellowship with you. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are my Sabbath. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me today. I receive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.